In the holy name of Jesus, amen. In the text just read, we hear of the preparations of the Passover meal. Jesus gives the disciples specific instructions on what to do to prepare for the Passover feast. Meanwhile, Judas is off striking a deal for Christ's betrayal in the name of padding his own pockets. As they gathered into this upper room for Passover, Jesus says to them that this Passover meal will be the last time that he would eat before he suffers and dies. It's about this time, when Jesus is speaking about his pending death, that the disciples find opportune time to dispute among themselves about who is the greatest. Can you imagine? The disciples reclining with Jesus after he tells them that he will suffer and die, and they begin arguing like children on a playground. Who is the greatest? Well, I suppose you can imagine, because you and I participate in this on a regular basis. It's true, though, isn't it? It seems that there's something that overtakes each of us to find out who's better than the other. Even though we're Christians, our sinful flesh loves to take this faith that's been given us and use it to compare it to others for the sake of pride. We think that we're doing a little bit better than the rest. We have the tendency to make categories of Christians. You know, there's the regular Christians, but then there's the real Christians. You know, the regular ones who just go to church, but then the real Christians go above and beyond. They always help out at church. They read their Bible every day, and they're even proactive in talking to others about Jesus. Now, none of these things are bad things. In fact, Christians should come to every service of the church, and they should read the Bible, and they should talk to others about Jesus. But a baptized Christian is a baptized Christian. God doesn't favor Christians on the basis of their works. If that were true, then he wouldn't be pleased with any of us. God isn't impressed by our acts of devotion. God is impressed by his Son, who accounted his acts of devotion to you. We're all just too often like the disciples, disputing among ourselves, or at least in our own minds, as to who is the greatest. Who is God most impressed with? Our sermon hymn for this evening says, "Whence come these sorrows, whence this mortal anguish? It is my sins for which thou, Lord, must languish. Yea, all the wrath, the woe, thou dost inherit, this do I merit." What a wonderful thing to confess, especially in Lent. The confession that it is our sin which brings our Lord to sorrow and mortal anguish. Our sins of selfishness, our sins of constantly comparing ourselves to others, all these sins which our Lord suffered for on the cross. This suffering was the wrath of God, as the hymn said, "All the wrath, the woe, thou dost inherit." Our Lord Jesus inherited the wrath that we deserved. The last line of this hymn, "This do I merit." All this anguish which our Lord suffered is for our benefit. It's by this that we are forgiven by God and we have eternal salvation. All this was on the mind of Jesus as the disciples argued over who is the greatest. So Jesus asked them, "Who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who is at the table?" And this is so because Jesus is the one who is doing the serving. The message of Christianity is that Jesus did not come so that people would serve him, but that he would serve us. Jesus didn't take on human flesh so that he could order us around in service to him. Jesus became man so that he could serve us and serve us unto death. And he continues to do this today. It's what goes on every service here. It's why the Sunday morning service is called divine service, because God serves us with his gifts. And our participation in the service is to passively receive these gifts by faith. Some feel that it is necessary that they play an active role in the divine service, that for some reason they must be doing something in order for this to be real worship. But you are God's honored guest at this table. He is serving you. When you go out to eat and the server says, "What can I get you to drink?" you don't stand up and say, "You know, let me get that for you." Or after you get done eating, you don't take your plate to the back and begin to wash it yourself. You are there so that the servers will serve you. And so it is with God. God gathers his people in this church to serve them in word and sacrament. You recline at this table, Sunday after Sunday, to be served by God, the body and blood of his very own Son. By this gift, he bestows to you the gift of the forgiveness of sins. And where there is the forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation, the Catechism says. In conclusion, we often argue who is greater. We often compare ourselves to others or think that we are becoming better and better, all by our good deeds. But Christ has already told us who is the greatest. The greatest is the one who is served by him. The greatest is the one for whom he died for on the cross. The greatest is the one who is baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the one who receives his body and blood at this altar. In the eyes of God, you are already the greatest because of his great Son who died on your behalf. His perfect and great life has now become your life. You cannot be greater in the eyes of God than his own beloved Son, whose works are now accounted to you by his holy word. In the holy name of Jesus, amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.